Now, if you will, please turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 20, and we will read from verse 1, concerning the cities of refuge, a provision that God had made for manslaughter in the nation of Israel, as we will see, and as we will notice in the New Testament, it forefigures the person of the Lord Jesus as the hiding place for guilty sinners. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. Now turn to the book of the Acts, please, in the New Testament, the missionary book of our Bible, Acts chapter 2. We will read from Peter's preaching, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now look, please, in chapter 7. I want you to notice the change that is mentioned here. This is concerning the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the Church of Christ. Verse 51, as he speaks to them just before he expires. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets had not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it, didn't believe it, is what that text is saying. Ye have become now the betrayers and murderers. Now I trust that God will very graciously help me tonight to point out to you this Old Testament illustration of the way of God's salvation for a very, very needy, desperate people. You can see the picture. A man is working, perhaps with a cart, or perhaps on a forge as a blacksmith, and a piece of iron flies off and strikes his neighbor, and he drops it, and he's dead. It was an accident. But immediately he becomes responsible for that man's blood, for that man's life. There's only one thing that man can do and live, and that's run. And God made a provision for that man because the family of that man that was slain, the loved ones, had a righteous judgment against the man that killed him. And God made provision for the man that slew his neighbor, did not do it wittingly, that is to say, he didn't do it purposely. He wasn't aware that it was going to happen this way, but it happened. He's responsible. His blood's on his hand. What will he do? He must run. And God provided 6 cities, about 30 miles apart, in the land of Israel. Never more than 30 miles from any one place in the land. And he required 3 things about those cities, as we're going to notice with you. One is that they must be always on a hill, so everybody could see where it was. And they must be easy to get to. There had to be a bridge if there was a river nearby. And God required that there was a road direct to the city. There must be nothing to hinder the people from getting to the city of refuge that they might hide. And they were secure there as long as the high priest lived. That was their security. Now when we turn to the book of the Acts where we have read, I want you to notice how the Apostle Peter and dear Stephen, he's speaking to the people of that day, and don't forget, dear friend, the people to whom Peter is preaching to, they never touched a nail that crucified Christ. They never made that crown of thorns with their fingers and put it on his head. They never took the hammer and made the crossbar on the cross to nail the Savior to. They never laid that cross on the back of Christ. But he charges them that their sin is the reason for Calvary. And with that charge that their sin is the reason for Calvary, he says, you slew him. You're a manslayer. And the only way for you to be free from the avenger of blood is to flee to the refuge that God provides through the very death of the man you're responsible for his death or slay. When I turn to chapter 7, I find a very, very solemn picture, which I trust will be weighed heavy upon every heart here tonight. Those of us who are saved by God's grace, and you who are not yet sheltered in the city of refuge, may it fall upon your ears, I trust, friend, knowing that it comes from God's word tonight. Stephen said to those people who resisted the invitation to flee and obey the gospel, that's how you get to the refuge. They resisted the Holy Spirit of God through the gospel. And he says, those that rejected are murderers, and there's no refuge. There's no more city of refuge for a murderer, only for a manslayer. Oh, my friend, tonight, that's the picture of the gospel of God's grace. That's why there is a gospel. There is a city of refuge for all who are sinners, because, my friend, it's our sin that put Christ on the cross. It's our sin that put the nails through his hands. It's your sin and mine that caused the grief of that crown of thorns upon that sacred brow. Young man, young lady, older friend in my meeting tonight, you and I are the reason for Calvary. We're responsible for every drop of his precious blood that he shed upon that cross. Our sins are the reason that there had to be a Calvary. That's what the Bible teaches. The only reason that the Holy Son of God could ever need to suffer was because of sins of others. And yonder at Calvary's cross, God tells his old blessed message as he writes it over the picture of Calvary. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Friend, that's the authority of it. And therefore tonight, every one of us in this room, are responsible for the sufferings of Calvary, for the agonies of the Lord Jesus, and for the moment when he bowed his sacred head and died. His blood is on your hands. His blood is on my hands. Because we're the sinners. We can't run away from it, friend. You can't hide. You know that in the nation of Israel, there were men that tried to hide instead of fleeing to the city of refuge? There were men that were responsible for the blood of others like that, and they wouldn't face up to it. God had to take dealings with them. My friend, tonight, that's why we are anxious in these gospel meetings. That's why we're endeavoring to set before you night after night, as often as you will come and listen, the tremendous truths of the danger of being a sinner without a refuge. The tremendous responsibility of saying no to the gospel. There's no refuge for a man that says no. But if you tonight would only turn, and turn in all your guilt, and all the responsibility of being the reason for Calvary, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, that's my city of refuge. The Savior at Calvary was willing to take my place. My sins nailed him to Calvary. And I look back to the Sunday night, sitting upon the side of my bed, when I entered the city of refuge and took the Savior as the only refuge for my soul, a guilty soul, who deserved everlasting judgment. Now let me note with you three things that are required of the sinner, of the one upon who has blood upon his hands. God required three things of him. And then I want you to notice the three things that are mentioned that are required for the city of refuge. And friend, that's the good news for you. I will not sit down until I can tell you that the door of the city is open, and open to you tonight, if you will take God at his word and step inside as one who's guilty of Calvary because of your sin. You'll be saved forever as long as the high priest lives. That's another picture of the Lord Jesus. He's called the great high priest in the Bible. And as long as he lives, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that tells me this about that great high priest. He lives in the power of an endless life. And as long as he lives, I'm saved. Ah, friend, tonight, that's what God is offering you, poor sinner tonight. It isn't a question of how bad your life is. It's not now looking at the question of whether you've gone into the gutter or not. The question is, your sins required Calvary. Your sins are the reason for Calvary. Therefore, my friend, the God of heaven, who has made provision for you a sinner, will require at your hand the blood of his precious Son. And what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ determines what God will do with you. Oh, that you would take it to heart tonight, friend. That's scriptural. That's what God teaches us in his holy word. The question God will have with you, young man, young woman, is, what did you do with my son? Your sin, that's already determined. You were born a sinner. You have sinned in youth. When you didn't think of it, you sinned. You're responsible for it. Those sins could never be dealt with to God's satisfaction apart from the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus when he stood in the guilty sinner's place and suffered in his stead. And the Bible tells us Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the mighty work that saves sinners he alone could accomplish, and to his eternal praise, he accomplished it. He cried, it is finished. Finished is the work that saves, once and forever done. Finished the righteousness that clothed the unrighteous one. Friend, tonight, the city of refuge has been supplied, and God so graciously, to men whose sins
are responsible for the sufferings of his son, is telling you tonight to flee to the city and be saved. Don't reject it. Don't go away saying no. Oh, God forbid. And you should be charged with the murder of the Son of God, for which there is no refuge. Solemn thought. God, write it upon your heart. The first thing God required of the man responsible for the blood of the other man, for the blood of Christ, is that he be in a hurry. Haste. Flee. Flee. Get down to business about it. And my dear friend, I fear tonight. That's one of the reasons that some of you in this little audience do not possess the blessed knowledge that my sins are forgiven. My soul is sheltered. I am saved. Because you've never gotten in a hurry about it. And I'll tell you, friend, if you ever saw that there's somebody on your track, the avenger of blood, if you could realize tonight that there is one who's waiting for the moment to take a hold of you, responsible for the death of Christ, and plunge you into the awfulness of an eternity of despair. If you ever get to see that, you'll be in a hurry. And my friend, that's why God says there is an avenger of blood. There is one that is following you tonight. The holy law of God is following you. It will condemn you, friend, for you've broken it, and so did I. I am not better than you. I'm not talking to you this way because I want to appear better. I am a guilty sinner. But Jesus died for me. And I look back to the Sunday night that I received him as my Savior, and I'm sheltered tonight. Thank God for the city of refuge. Ah, but this night you could see, friend, you must be in a hurry. That's what is said concerning this man. Flee. Flee. Friend, there's one on your track that if it lays hold of you, you are lost forever. There's no hope you could get saved. You would plunge into the despair of suffering that has never yet been fitly described. The suffering of a soul responsible for the sufferings of Christ, yet to perish in their sin and be lost forever. Flee, friend, flee. I read of various men in the Bible that had avengers of blood after them, and they ran. I think of one dear man that was running. He must have been a good runner. Abner was his name. He was running. But you know, he faltered once, and that's when he went down. He faltered, he stopped, he looked behind him. Isn't that the story of the two men running in your track here? Long ago, in years gone by, one man only turned to look and he lost the race. My friend tonight, if you're going to be distracted by things in time, whatever it may be, even the legitimate things of getting your business and getting your position in life, if you allow anything to distract you from fleeing to the city of refuge, to the Lord Jesus, the great high priest, you allow anything to stop you, you're going to get caught. Friend, the Bible says so. The Lord Jesus made it plain. The beloved apostles made it plain. You must flee. It's time that you got down on your knees, young man, and dealt with God about your sin and your need of finding the door that you might be saved. Find it tonight. It's available. Thank God it is. The second thing God required about the sinner was honesty. When he came to the gate of the city, he had to state his cause. He had to say, look at my hands. He had to say, I'm guilty. He had to be honest. He couldn't make up a story about being framed. He couldn't make up a story of self-pity. He had to be honest. I am a guilty sinner. I need shelter, for there's no other refuge for me. Oh, friend, will you be pleased to be honest with God? Put away false faces. Take away from your idea of hiding behind something. You can't hide, friend. You're lost without being honest with God at the gate of the city. And God is looking for honest sinners. The Lord Jesus spoke about the good seed being sown in the ground. John 3:16. How many times has that been put into your hand, dear friend, here tonight? In it is eternal life. Right in that seed. It's right there. It's living. It's brought assurance to many a soul. John 3:16, above my head here. Beautiful text. Why is it that you've never gotten a hold of it? Why is it you don't see salvation in that verse? Because you're not honest. You're not honest. You see that? God knows your heart, my friend. As long as you defend yourself, as long as you threaten yourself, His hands are stained with the blood of Christ. That's the charge Peter laid against those people, and they'd never touched His blood. He charged them that His blood was on their hands. It's on yours tonight. I remember well when I was in that position of responsibility. And friend, if you're not honest with God about it, you will never be in God's heaven. The third thing God required of the sinner was that he enter the hiding place. That he just enter the door. Look what it says there. They took him into the gate. My, I love those words. It reminds me of the words of my blessed Savior for you tonight, friend. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He is saved the moment he enters that door. Outside that door, the avenger of blood could take you. Outside that door, friend, you have no appeal. You have no shelter. There's nowhere you can hide from the charge that your sins are responsible to God for the sufferings of His Son upon Calvary's cross. Oh, that you would step through the door. That's taking God at His word about yourself. You see, that's linked with the honesty. And this is how dear Stephen put it when he spoke to the people. Repent, or Peter rather. Repent. That's honesty. That's being honest with God, justifying God, giving Him credit for telling the truth about you, that you are what He says you are, a guilty sinner. You have no appeal but honesty. I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Thank God for those words. Beautiful text, friend. Found in God's holy word. Christ dying for the ungodly. Marvelous statement. That's the door of salvation. And God requires that you hurry or you won't get in. God requires, friend, that you be honest. Is that why you're not yet saved? You're not honest with God? Get down on your knees before Him, friend. Cry for mercy. Lest the avenger of blood overtake you, and you be lost forever. Three things God required for the city. One was altitude, that men could see. Put it on a hill. It must be easy to see. Ah, friend, tonight, can I say to you, God is looking for you to take Him at His word and look to see what the Savior accomplished at Calvary. He has provided a perfect salvation. All that you need, without money and without price. When I think of that, I often think of the time when I was married and I went and got my first tailor-made suit. And the dear fellow was a navy blue serge, and I went and put it on when it was ready. When I was going to get married, he went and got the thing and checked it out on me. You know what he said to me as he put it in? You know how they do the tailors, they patch on the shoulders and shoulders no wrinkles and they check in the mirror and all that. He says, Jim, it fits you to a T. Then that's God's message to me. That's God's salvation. It fits you to a T. Everything that you need, God has supplied. Everything. Nothing is missing. What are you trying to do to fix it up? Can you hammer on the gate to make it more sound? Can you make the door wider? Friend, salvation is all that you need. And the Lord Jesus fits you to a T tonight, that you might be found in Him, is salvation and shelter. Altitude, easy to see.
God's salvation has met every need. Heaven is satisfied tonight. The sin question has been settled. That, friend, that ought to make your heart sing with joy to know it's settled. Settled forever. Sin's tremendous claim. Glory to Jesus. Blessed be His name. The second thing God required about that city was that it would be accessible to all. Easy to reach for all people. I love that claim. I've seen your children come to know the Lord Jesus personally as their Savior, find refuge in Him, responsible for Calvary because of their sinful nature and because of their sinful life. I've seen old men. I was telling them, I say that carefully and kindly, of course. I don't know how old is, really, sometimes. But I've seen a dear old lady, 91 years old, rejoice in the Lord Jesus, sitting one day on her couch reading Isaiah 64 and verse 6. You know what it says? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that dear woman, when tears came to her eyes and she acknowledged, I never saw that before. My whole life is filthy before God. He's so holy. As you read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and this is what it says, friend. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just one, for the unjust. That's as far as she got. And as she read that verse, she looked up at my wife and I sitting there beside her. You know what she said? She said, that means me. Jesus for me. My friend, that's Calvary. That's the open door. Sitting right there, she took him at his word. You know what that means? She had stepped inside. And she's saved. 97 years old now. Your soul, last time I saw her, had dinner with her. And she's coming to the meetings, happy to know, safe and sound in the Lord Jesus. Ah, my friend, tonight, why will you not take a hold of it? Young can get it. Old can get it. I've seen blind people get it that can't even read the Bible. Just had to hear it. And I've seen people, friend, that you would think maybe just a little bit brick short of a load sometimes we say. And I say that thoughtfully without any rancor or without any meaning to be mean at all. But just a little less than what you would think would be normal. Simple enough to receive Christ as their Savior. See, friend, it isn't a question of how intelligent you are. It's a question of whether you really trust God or not. Yes, dear friend, tonight that you might see in the Lord Jesus is the answer for your need. And the last thing God required of that city was it must be available. It must be within reach of all. Ah, friend, the Lord Jesus is closer to you than that one in the chair beside you. He lingers over your soul tonight. He yearns as He looks within your heart and knows all your thoughts. He's waiting for that moment for you to be honest. That He might say, step inside. God grant you may turn tonight. Don't turn away, lest you find yourself murdered, for whom there is no way. God forbid that anyone should reject Christ tonight and be labeled a murderer. With no rest. Oh, friend, turn, be honest, be saved tonight.